Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I must tell you, I think right now, based on the fact that the AstraZeneca vaccine has similar issues and the type of vaccine is similar to the J&J vaccine, although this adverse reaction is extraordinarily rare, I think right now there's significant concern that this is a vaccine-associated complication.
Is the AstraZeneca vaccine and the J&J vaccine, are they similar in how they're made?
They're similar, Susan, in that both of them are adenovirus vector vaccines that deliver DNA. And I think the key word here is the DNA, because there's been some mechanistic study on clotting with the AstraZeneca vaccine. And at least the initial data that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine on Friday suggested that perhaps some of the DNA that's packaged in this viral vector, when it's delivered, becomes liberated, and then antibodies directed against what we call a platelet activating factor. So platelets actually are what plug the holes when we're bleeding. If these platelets get activated, they could form clots. And so likewise, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is also a DNA vaccine. So there's some biologic plausibility that these clots are associated with the vaccine, extraordinarily rare. And the good news is we do have treatment for this, if recognized. But nonetheless, this is obviously problematic. People are concerned about getting vaccination, and obviously this isn't going to make them feel any better. I think the good news here is that this issue is not at all associated with the RNA vaccine, Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, and that is the dominant vaccine supply in this country. So we'll have to see how this pans out. But I think the ramifications for this country are going to be significantly less than potentially the world.
Looking at the numbers behind this, so we know six women here in the U.S. out of about 7 million shots given. Over in Britain, in the EU, what the numbers, as far as I can tell, and what was reported in the New York Times, is out of about 34 million people who received the AstraZeneca vaccine, there was over 200 blood clots that were linked to this kind of a similar issue. Knowing that, and the majority of those cases were women under 60 years old as well, knowing that this number is so low, should that make it easier to kind of single out what's causing this problem and be able to make a recommendation based on that?
Well, Brian, I think we have some insights into what the problem is, based on the AstraZeneca vaccine. And obviously, this is going to be intensely studied with the J&J vaccine as well. But the way I would look at this, if I was an individual, if I was a physician, I think that this pause is appropriate while we sort this out. And obviously, we have, at least as of this time, what we believe is a very safe and efficacious alternative. So this pause does make sense, and I think it'll have a small but not an overwhelming impact on our vaccination efforts, because fortunately in this country, we have the RNA vaccines. So there's work to be done in terms of sorting this out, what the relative risk is going to be. Are there age groups that are not at risk at all? For example, maybe males or males of a certain age, this vaccine could absolutely be given safely. But at this time, without knowing all of those details, I think the pause is appropriate as we gather more information.
And would this maybe change, if the J&J vaccine is kind of given the go-ahead again, which, you know, I'm not going to predict the future and to what's going to happen. But would this maybe, we've talked a lot about, you know, the best vaccine you can get is the one that you can get. Does this maybe change things? You know, say if you are a woman, you have been infected with COVID previously. Does this change the consideration of, you know, maybe it is worthwhile, even though this is an extremely rare risk, where I will go with a Moderna or a Pfizer vaccine just to avoid any other risk, you know, when I'm already carrying some sort of antibody protection in taking the J&J?
Yeah, I think it does. I think this does change the thought process because we have at this time what appears to be a safer alternative. You know, in medicine, everything is sort of benefit versus risk. And you always want to choose what maximizes the benefit and minimizes the risk. And so in this situation, if we know, even though the risk is extraordinarily small and we have, you know, treatments that potentially could manage the consequences, if there's an alternative that has, you know, no consequences, or at least no identifiable consequences at this point, why not minimize the risk?
What would someone notice if they were to develop a blood clot? Would it be swelling?
Susan, that's a great question, and it really depends on where the blood clot is. The concern with these vaccines is the blood clots have been an unusual location in the abdomen and in some of the veins, actually, in our central nervous system. So swelling might not be apparent from those locations. But what I would say is this, that if anyone, and the time frame, by the way, I think, you know, and if there's people out there that have gotten the J&J vaccine, and I'm sure they're a little concerned. Right now, as Brian pointed out, it's been primarily but not exclusively women. It's been individuals that have been under the age of 60 and mostly under the age of 50. And this complication seems to occur somewhere between 5 and 6 days and 16 days after receiving the vaccination. So what I would suggest is if an individual has received the J&J vaccine and they notice anything that's different than usual, out of an abundance of caution, I would call your healthcare provider. And really, the easiest thing to do is check the platelet count. The platelet count in these individuals is very low. It's a very simple, easy, quick blood test to do. And that could be assessed. And if it's normal, that individual could feel reassured. And if in the highly, highly unlikely chance there could be a problem, as I mentioned, we do have treatment to manage this situation.
Is there any reason that people should take a baby aspirin after receiving the vaccine, especially women?
No, Susan, I don't think that is a good idea. I think, and it's a little bit of a complicated answer, but if in the extremely unlikely chance that this complication has occurred, if the platelets become low, they could form clots, but then when your platelets are low, you're also at risk for bleeding as well. And that could potentially be perpetuated by aspirin. So at this point, no, but I would just present oneself or get in contact with your healthcare provider if you have any concern at all. But I think we really need to emphasize how extraordinarily unusual and rare this condition seems to be at this time. So no grounds for panic, but vigilance, I think, is okay in the order of the day.
We're speaking with Dr. Tom Russo. He's chief of infectious disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine. On the breaking story this morning, the U.S. is calling for a pause on Johnson & Johnson vaccinations after very rare cases of blood clotting in 6 people that we know of so far. Dr. Russo, it is common, right, for these so-called safety signals to be sent out by regulators in whether it's a vaccine or any other new medical product, right?
Well, it is, Brian. And obviously, this vaccine and all vaccines are very carefully monitored after administration. You know, trials, even though they're fairly large, are on the orders of tens of thousands of people. And if you have a rare and uncommon adverse reaction that occurs in the order of, you know, millions or even greater, the only way you can detect this is sort of surveillance after the fact, and we have a system in place for this country. So it shows that the surveillance system works, And this is something that obviously is relatively uncommon. But as you mentioned, there was one case of this in the clinical trial as well, which to me adds, an increased biologic plausibility that this could be a rare but real association with these vaccines.
It's interesting that this came out today, because I was just reading something else that came out today with COVID cases on the rise, that, more and more people are coming around to the idea that the U.S. should kind of follow the U.K. in delaying some of these second shots of Moderna and Pfizer vaccines in an effort to get more people at least some protection. Does this news maybe change that consideration at all in delaying that second shot of those other two vaccines?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Brian. So to do a little math here, the RNA vaccines are 75% of the total doses that we have right now ordered to make available to the U.S. public, 600 million, enough to vaccinate really virtually all of the U.S. population, 330 million, and you need two doses of these vaccines. We had 200 million doses of the J&J ordered, and of course, the advantage of the J&J is you're one and done. I think the concept that you brought out that's been employed by the UK and it's been employed by Canada, and effectively it appears in the UK where they've really been able to get their number of cases and deaths down very quickly, is spreading those doses out so you can get more people vaccinated in a more expedient fashion. I think, the U.S. has been reluctant to adopt that policy. And then when supply has increased, they said, oh, well, there's no need at this point. So I think we're going to have to see with a bump in cases recently in the northeastern and midwestern states, whether we should consider this sort of strategy to get more vaccines in arms or not. I think it's something they're going to talk about. The Advisory Committee for Immunization Practice is going to meet on Wednesday to discuss the J&J vaccine, but they may also discuss this issue as well to see. What I'm concerned about, and I think it's really important to emphasize here, is vaccination remains our ticket to get out of this pandemic and to get us out of this bump and surge in cases that we've seen recently, that, of course, packaged with public health measures while you're waiting to get vaccinated. There's no reason to be hesitant about the RNA vaccines, the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines at this point. So what I'm concerned about is that people say, oh, my gosh, vaccination in general is dangerous and people will stop getting vaccinated, which would make that point a moot point. And we have to continue with those RNA vaccines, sort out what's going on with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine at this point, and continue to move forward and really try to put an end to this pandemic. And I hope this doesn't set us back, but I'm concerned that it might.
Dr. Russo, we so appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much.
Yeah, always great to be with you guys.
That's Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Disease for the Jacobs School of Medicine at the University at Buffalo.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.